This morning, the scripture comes from John's Gospel. It's about a fellow named Nicodemus. This is John chapter 3, the first 10 verses. There was a Jewish leader named Nicodemus who belonged to the party of the Pharisees. One night he went to Jesus and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the miracles you are doing unless God were with him." Jesus answered, "I am telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a grown man be born again?" Nicodemus asked. "He certainly cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time." "I am telling you the truth," replied Jesus, "that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. A person is born physically of human parents, but he is born spiritually of the Spirit. Do not be surprised, because I tell you that you must all be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes. You hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. It is like that with everyone who is born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" asked Nicodemus. Jesus answered, "You are a great teacher in Israel, and you don't know this?" These are the words of God for you, the people of God. Praise be to God. Gracious God, thank you for the privilege to come and stand at this holy desk, and knowing that I follow so many that you have called to be here. And so this morning, Lord, with the privilege that you give me, may you speak to these people. That would make me very happy, that you would get me out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a very wise person that once said, "If it looks like a duck, and it walks like a duck, and it talks like a duck, it's a duck." Well, if it looks like a Pharisee and it talks like a Pharisee, you know, it must have been very, very hard to be a Pharisee. You had all of those religious rules to follow. You had to look all pious all the time. And perhaps most challenging of all, you could not think for yourself about religious things. Let me explain. What I mean by that is that you had to follow the company line. You had to speak the way you were supposed to speak. You didn't have a chance to get any new ideas in, to get your own thoughts in as a Pharisee. But today we read about one of the Pharisees. There were probably others, but there was one named Nicodemus who wanted to know more about God. And this meeting of Nicodemus and Jesus helps us to see the power that the kingdom of God has to draw people into it. And you know, that's the same power that it's at work today, here in 2012, the power that is pulling people in to the kingdom. And quite simply, it's the power of God's love for us, even when we do naughty things. And Nicodemus couldn't help it. He was drawn to Jesus. Now, some folks believe that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night because he didn't want any of the other Pharisees to see that he was coming to see Jesus, because we all know that the Pharisees and Jesus weren't getting along, to put it mildly. There are others, and I'm with that group, I think, that are thinking that the reason that Nicodemus came to see Jesus at night is because he wanted to have a longer conversation. You've read the scriptures. You know that Jesus was a very busy man. There were days when he would work all day long and well into the evening. If you caught up with him, you might have gotten a word with him in edgewise, but not much more than a few words. And Nicodemus had some questions. Nicodemus really wanted to have a conversation with Jesus. And so Nicodemus figured out a way. I'll go at night when the crowds are gone. But in reality, the time of day that Nicodemus goes is of less importance than the fact that he went. You see, Nicodemus didn't just stumble across Jesus that day. He knew about him. He probably had heard him speak before. And he sought Jesus out. You know, often you and me are guilty of letting our relationship with God degenerate into only tiny snippets of our time. We truly are so busy. And then we get to the end of the day, and everything has gone on, and maybe it's the third Monday of the week, if you know what I mean. And then all at once, you're sitting in the chair, or you're crawling into bed, and then you realize, oh, wait a minute, I haven't talked with God today yet. And then as the eyes close, and you drift off to sleep, you have just a few moments to say something to him. And we have to be careful with that. Nicodemus wanted to talk to him at length. Now, not everyone knew who Jesus was. I mean, who he really was. But obviously, Nicodemus had figured it out, because he calls Jesus rabbi. He calls Jesus teacher. And to his credit, Nicodemus understood that Jesus came from God. Some of the other Pharisees had attributed the things that Jesus was doing, the miracles. They had said that his power was coming from Satan. But Nicodemus knew, and he identified Jesus' miracles as God's revelation of who Jesus was, the very Son of God. And although Nicodemus was a teacher himself, a religious teacher, he had questions. And he wanted to go to a teacher that knew more than he did. Part of that was his Jewish background. When you were a young boy in Judaism, you went to rabbinical school. And then if you really were a good student, then you went to more schooling after rabbinical school in your teens. And then if you were a really good student there, then you would attach yourself to a rabbi. You would become a disciple. Nicodemus knew that the rabbi Jesus had more knowledge than he did. It helps us to understand why in this world we never stop learning, do we? And in the kingdom of God, oh glory be, we never stop learning there either. Whatever you have of the kingdom right now, whatever you know of the Bible, whatever you have for a personal relationship with Jesus, there's more to be had, my friends. There's more. Jesus knows us better than we think. All of us. We don't know for sure exactly what Nicodemus wanted to find out, but Jesus knew even before Nicodemus came to him with the questions that he had. You see, Nicodemus wanted to draw closer to God, Nicodemus wanted to have more of God in his life. The questions aren't written down in the scriptures. But we know that Nicodemus went to the right source. If you use the internet at all, you go out on the internet and ask a question and you get 2,493,000 answers. Well, which one is the right source for the answer? Nicodemus knew that Jesus was. When you and I are hungry for answers, we can go to God because God has given us some things to work with. He's given us the Holy Bible, the scriptures to teach us. He's given us his very presence here with us in this day. And then he's given us the freedom of prayer. And in prayer, we can go to ask him anything. And then there's one more wonderful thing I think that God has given us in this seeking him. And that's the others that God places in our lives. The ones who have already traveled where we would like to go, and they've already asked some questions, and they've received answers. And now, because they kind of know the way, they can come alongside of us and walk with us to find our answers. The small group ministry that's so alive here at Faith Community is witness to that. You see, Jesus needs to be more than just an item of discussion in our lives. Jesus has answers for our hearts and our souls. Nicodemus came with his questions, and Jesus, interestingly enough, immediately turned the conversation in a whole different direction. Let me remind you what Jesus said to Nicodemus. It was from verse 3. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And when you go back and you chase down the original language for this, the word see means to be a part of. So you can read this verse. I tell you the truth, no one can be a part of the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Did you hear it? Jesus said, no one. Not the Pharisees, not the Sadducees, not the Gentiles. No one who is relying on his or her own merit can see the kingdom of God. But our eyes will be opened when we rely on Jesus to guide us. Let's talk about this born again. It's quite troublesome for Nicodemus, and Jesus has to explain. Anyone in the society of that day would have called Nicodemus a religious man. But you know, Jesus wasn't interested in religiosity. He was interested in people's hearts. This is from Mark's gospel. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Jesus quite honestly wants people to totally give their lives over to him. By the way, you get to stay real. Don't get nervous about that. But he wants us to turn our whole lives over to him so that he can be at work in changing us into being even more wonderful than we already are. Jesus said, nobody can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. And the theologians have been trying to figure this business of the water out ever since. They understand Spirit. It's talking about the Holy Spirit here. But they're trying to figure out what this water is. Some of them say it's the water of our mother's womb. Others say that Jesus is talking about the water that you and I use in baptisms in this day. But you know what? If you go back and you look at the original language, and if you look at the time period that we're talking about here, this is right after John the Baptist. What Jesus is talking about here, I believe, is the fact that the baptism is not so much about the water, but the baptism is about, and being born again, is about repenting of our sins, receiving the Holy Spirit. John had come, John the Baptist, and he said, you got to give up being the way you are, folks. You need to be more like the way God wants you. It's the indwelling presence of God that works in us and changes us. When Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, he was inviting Nicodemus into an intimate relationship with him. And Jesus was saying this, Nicodemus, come and be with me. I will show you the way. I'll show you how to do it. Let me go with you. I don't want you to go alone. And are you willing to trust your life to me? Because you see, Nicodemus, I have such great plans for you. In his way, Jesus was saying, Nicodemus, are you in or out? You know, somebody comes up with a great idea and they come to us and they say, you know, here's the plan. We'd like you to be a part of us. Are you in or out? And then you have to make a decision. Nicodemus was going to have to decide if he loved his world, his position, the power and prestige that he had as a Pharisee, or if he would give in to his desire to know more about God, about God's kingdom. Anybody play golf here? Do you know what a mulligan is? It's my favorite thing about golf. Because I'm part of the group that's called Duffers. And a mulligan is when you tee up the ball and you get all set. Boy, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be like those guys on TV. And then you swing and everything goes wrong. And either the ball goes way someplace or it never makes it off the tee or if it dribbles a little bit. And that's when you turn to your friends that you're playing golf with and say, can I have a mulligan? Can I have a do-over? Can I start again? And then if they're real nice, they'll say, okay, but you only get one. And then you get to do it all over again. It's a second chance. Oh, how often do you and I wish that we could start over again? I ask you this morning, have you ever done something in your life that you are truly sorry for? Something that you're ashamed about? Oh, my friends, God's grace is offered to you to have a do-over, to start again. Have you ever spoken a harsh word to a friend, maybe a member of your family, and hurt them? Oh, my friends, God's grace and the power of reconciliation is offered to you to do it again, to start it anew. Have you ever turned your back on God? God's grace and pardon for the prodigal is offered to you. Now, Nicodemus was right. We cannot return to our mother's womb, but with God's grace, we can begin a new life. I know all of you know the band Korn. They're a heavy metal band. I'm sure you listen to them every Saturday night. There's a guy that was with them for 10 years. His name was Brian Welch. His nickname was Head. And Brian, as lead guitarist, lived a life of the rock band. And after 10 years, his whole life was drugs and sex and godlessness. And then one day, he had an encounter with Jesus. And he walked into the band and he said, "Fellas, I can't hang with you anymore. I've met Jesus and my life has changed and I get to start over again." And he picked up his stuff and he left. Korn was a band that had won Grammy Awards. They had platinum records. They had gold records. He was making a lot of money. And he left it all. A little while later, someone interviewed him, and in the interview, these are his exact words, and I quote them about why he left. "I had a spiritual encounter that took me higher than any drug I've ever done," Welch said. "It was real. 100% without a doubt, I know I had an encounter with God. I quit Korn within a couple of weeks, and I was delivered from drugs and alcohol." And to this day, he's still making music, but to this day, he'll witness to anybody about how Jesus gave him a second chance and changed his life. He understands Jesus was trying to teach Nicodemus that the only way a person can really start over in life is to be born from above. Born again is the word in the scriptures, by receiving God's eternal life and the regenerative power of the Holy Spirit. Naturally, our being born again is impossible, but Jesus makes the idea of being born again supernaturally a possibility. One of the symbols of the Holy Spirit, because we're talking about that in the scriptures this morning, is wind. Pneuma in the Greek. And we all know the wind goes wherever it wants to go. And we never see it. We just see the results of it. Yesterday, on the way driving over to Portage to hear Pastor Tom, we drove past a wind farm. Never did see the wind, but sure saw those windmills spinning. There was power there. And, of course, then that was changed into electrical power for your and my use. And then last night, did you see the news? It happens each year round about now in the springtime, and the wind takes the ice on Lake Winnebago and grabs a hold of it, literally, and starts it going toward shore with such power that it piles up, and it piles up, and it piles up. There's 10 to 12 foot high piles of ice on some shores on Lake Winnebago because of the wind yesterday. They've damaged some property. The wind has power. The wind is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It must have seemed very unlikely to the disciples that Nicodemus would believe in Jesus. Are there people in your lives that you think will never be touched by God, even though you want it to happen so much? My friends, perhaps it's somebody you know, or maybe it's someone that you have only seen on TV in the news. Don't ever assume that God can't get them. God, through His Holy Spirit, can reach anyone. And all we need to be doing is praying diligently for whomever it is that God will touch them and invite them and grab hold of them into a relationship with Him. Be a witness, an example to everyone by the way we live our lives, of whom is really in control of our lives. And then God might touch the ones that you think would never, ever darken the doors of the church. My friends, as you prepare for the great celebration of Easter, have you thought about living your life even more for Jesus than you already do? or maybe beginning a life for Jesus for the very first time. If you decide to do that, then you better hang on to your hats, because the wind, the Holy Spirit, is going to blow in your life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may we be like Nicodemus, coming to you with questions and receiving much more than we expected. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.